Backseat Producers, episode 119, Zombieland. Tony.
And this is Daryl.
And this is Sarah.
And this is David.
And you're a douche.
I always have to change it up because it's either a tool, a dick, or a douche.
And so I haven't done douche in a while. I had to think about it there for a minute and run through it. No. Yep, that one's next.
All right, so before we launch into the movie, which is Zombieland.
Yes.
Next week we're talking about it on Horizon. You know what we're talking about the week after that?
No. What are we talking about the week after that?
Come on.
You said you had some topic to discuss.
I do.
Well, we go for it.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll talk about that while you think about what we're going to talk about after that. So I watched the Scream Awards, right?
What are the Scream Awards?
Pretty awesome.
They were pretty gay.
They were pretty ridiculous.
So it's Spike is doing some television and movie awards for, like, horror genre-esque type things. Although they kept saying horror, but they kept, like, trying to pull it back from saying horror so they could include Twilight. Which, every category Twilight or True Blood was nominated in, that they won.
It was either like Twilight or True Blood.
It was like fantastic. So everybody in the crowd...
Why was this on Spike? Isn't that supposed to be testosterone TV?
It was kind of that way. Because everybody was dressed up.
They had their soft side too.
Either in full goth, zombie costume, or just like...
Oh yeah, everybody in the audience was in costume. Everybody.
Now, you know what? I saw the trailer for New Moon.
There's lots of hot boy flesh in that. My daughter is going to be very pleased.
The trailer made it look like there's an incredible leap in storytelling between the last movie and this one, because I saw over Julie's shoulder the first movie and it was horrible. The trailer makes this one look exciting.
Yeah, okay. Yes. That's what Melina and Katie said, because neither of them read the books and they're like, man, this movie looks like it could be good. And I'm like, it's not actually that good. Those bits that they show you, not...
That's the high point.
Yeah, those are the one high point scenes.
And seriously, right. They showed a lot of young men, because I saw that was the trailer in front of Zombieland, a lot of young men with no shirts on.
I was like, wow, it was good.
Marketing, hello, marketing. Audience, 14-year-old girls.
No. No, you know what? The audience for Twilight is not 14-year-old girls.
It's my mom.
The mothers of those 14-year-old girls.
I'm getting used to the 14-year-old in my house because, unfortunately, I know how the series ends, which means I'm not going to see any of the movies because a baby eventually claws its way out of someone's uterus.
Nice!
And I'm good.
Hey,
I'm okay.
I've seen that movie already. I saw it in 1973. My mother took me to it when I was 3 years old. It was 74.
Rosemary.
Alive.
Oh, alive.
It's alive.
Here you guys. I don't remember what I was going
to say. Scream Awards. You were discussing
Scream Awards. So the most ridiculous award they gave out at the Scream Awards, okay? Ready for this? Most anticipated movie. So they gave it to Alice in Wonderland, right?
Wow.
It actually beat out, I think it beat out New Moon, which was weird.
Well, Tim Burton is a bigger sell.
Well, yeah. So they gave it to Alice in Wonderland. Johnny Depp comes out to accept it, and he's like, I don't know what to say when I accept an award for a movie we're not done making.
Wow.
Thanks. And he was gone.
That's fantastic. That is the best acceptance speech ever.
What are you talking about in 2 weeks?
I don't know. Tony would decide.
Full Metal Jacket.
I don't want to see Fight Club.
What? Have you not seen it before?
I have seen it. I don't want to see it again.
Or throw those Twinkies. No.
Do you want to feel how hard I can punch?
45%.
I've been waiting to use
it. I'm only going to give you 45%. What's the line he uses before that, though? I told myself I was not going to forget it. I have kicked righteous ass for less than
that. Yeah, at least. Yeah, but I kicked men's asses for less.
No, I'm tired of watching movies I don't want to watch. Although, this last 2 weeks have been an exception. The week before that was Big Trouble in Little China. You know, I'm on a good streak, so I want to continue it. That's going to be my spin. Unless you got something better that you can come up with in 2 minutes.
I don't know. Chris can edit.
Oh, no, I was just laying down the challenge.
Red Dawn. Oh, God. Oh, God. We haven't, you know, we haven't done a recently dead guy podcast in a while, though.
Who died?
Patrick Swayze. Swayze.
It's Patrick Swayze.
Oh, don't make me punch you.
That's like asking who's Gandhi.
Yeah.
Who's Gandhi? No, he's killing you. He was in that episode of Supernatural a couple weeks ago.
All right, Red Dawn.
Red Dawn. God.
Yes.
Fine, we're doing Fight Club after that.
That's fine. We'll do Fight Club after that.
All right.
Trade off.
Man, look at that. We've already got a month planned up.
Damn, yeah, we're good. All right.
All right. All right, so let's start talking about Zombieland.
Okay, let's start.
Overall impression of the movie.
Overall impression of the movie. I don't like zombie movies in general. I had a lot of fun with Zombieland. That I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I liked it, but I didn't love it. I mean, I enjoyed the comedy and everything else, but after it got done, it was like, well, eating a Twinkie. I mean, satisfying, but not fulfilling.
I went into it with a crush on Woody Harrelson, so... You know, I was going to be happy with it either way. No, I don't like zombie movies for the most part. I'm glad we're so, I'm glad we are so close like that, Adam. You can just come right out and say that stuff. I don't like zombie movies for the most part. I never have. They scare the crap out of me. I actually really enjoyed Zombieland. It was over
and if the top. And if you hear crinkling, that's because we're eating Twinkies in honor of Zombieland. Thank you, Daryl.
Yes.
For supplying the Twinkies.
Yes, I looked up.
We're drinking pumpkin ale and eating Twinkies. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
Happy Halloween.
Yep. Enjoy these little golden bastards. I had to look all over for them.
Really?
Not really.
All right, so.
That was the story.
Your thought. You.
Oh, I loved it. I hate horror movies. Pretty much just in general. And I love zombies. So I love comedy zombies, and I've still never seen Shaun of the Dead.
I have no idea why people says Shaun of the Dead was funny.
Really? Because that's the impression I get.
Everybody told me it was this amazing comedy. I was pretty appalled by the whole bunch of it.
The impression I get is that it's like geek chic to say Shaun of the Dead is brilliant.
I've never actually seen it. There were parts of it that were amazingly funny. Overall, there was some really rough stuff in it. I didn't think it was a knockdown comedy. Zombieland was a comedy from one end to the other.
It was gruesome as well.
Mm-hmm. It was a splatterfest.
There was a lot of gore.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of gore.
I think that's what makes it kind of funny is the way the splatter goes. It's just not gratuitous. It's just more like a cartoon.
It was so over the top. It was amazing.
The zombie chick in the bikini in the beginning.
She wasn't in a bikini. She had pasties. Yeah, it was tassels.
She had pasties.
Yep.
And the guy in the background was slinging his beer as he ran. I was cracking up. I got to see it in a completely empty theater.
Really?
I went and saw it today at 1:30 in the afternoon on a Wednesday.
There you go.
There was no one else in the theater but me. It was awesome.
I went at 9:25 last night, and there was about seven other people in the theater. Four of them were sitting right in front of me, and I don't smoke, and they all reeked. And I mean, to the point where it's like, I mean, some people smoke, but they don't reek of it.
Once they're done smoking, they've stopped smoking.
Yeah, they've stopped smelling of it, and not these folks. No, well, that
they
that,
stayed in the drive. That they stayed in the curing bar.
And I think they were texting each other through the whole movie. It's like Jesus Christ! I almost kicked the chairs. I mean, but I didn't want to get kicked out. I was enjoying the movie too much.
that's a good thing. Is why is it when a whole empty movie theater, all the most annoying people want to sit next to you?
Yeah.
Like, go elsewhere, you sons of bitches.
I don't understand that in general. It's like, if you look, everything I do, I break down the cost over hours, and I compare that against how much I make an hour. So it's like,
yeah,
I paid $10 for this movie, right? So that's $5 an hour. So I'm making X percentage of my salary to sit here right now.
You're wasting my money.
Wasting $5. Wasted $5 of my money.
I had no problems with that. It was amazing.
Well, we saw it pretty close to opening weekend, so yeah. There were a lot of people in the theater.
Now,
so when I threw my arms over my head and yelled, double tap, booyah, nobody in the theater got upset. Nobody yelled at me. It was kind of nice.
I thought the rules were awesome. All of them.
The rules were incredible.
And I loved
the subtle... The subtle placement of the rules
yes,
throughout.
Yes, and how they would get occasionally damaged or splattered on or something like that. That breaking of the fourth wall in some of these movies, if it's done right, it's done subtly, it's great. If it's done a little bit too overtly, it's just
stupid. That's what I liked about the credits was watching the water that they were using on the fire. Is part of the credits in the one scene with the firefighter.
Right. Yeah, everything. The credits were really cool because they really played with a lot of the special effects during the opening sequence. Mm-hmm. And they gave you the flavor for the movie. If you could sit through the opening credits and weren't disgusted, because there was a lot of gore.
It was pretty intense.
That opening sequence was cringeworthy in a few spots, but once you got
past stripper.
Well, yeah.
Sometimes I have that nightmare.
Is it a nightmare, though?
I was just looking at her naked, and now she's trying to eat me.
Isn't that the point?
Not the good way.
Not the fun way.
Adam, sucking the fun out of everything since 2000.
Hey, it's not my fault I do math.
I'm with you. I actually understand this concept completely.
All right, so... All right, let's do our rundown of the actors, and then we'll roll into our plot summary.
All right.
So shit it is.
I'm gonna go ahead and start with Woody. Tallahassee. Because I've been disappointed in Woody Harrelson frequently in his dramatic roles. I liked Woody in this movie.
I did too.
I really enjoyed him in this role. It fit him very well.
I agree. I think he rocked it out.
I think Jesse Ellenberg, S. Essenberg, did the much better job, though. I mean, he's kind of the unknown, the newer one here, but I think he came off as a pretty the lonely nerd pretty well.
There was a few points where he couldn't act at the same level as a few of his co-actors.
Well, okay, yeah, that few. Well, that's
there were times where he just kind of stood there while Woody acted around him.
Yes. Right. But you know, but the thing is, Woody is sort of the lead in this, so it's kind of hard not to be kind of led around.
Except that I thought that Columbus was the lead, and Tallahassee was
the straight man.
He was the supporting actor. He was the goofy one,
right.
The comedic relief. And I thought that Columbus completely failed at being
straight man.
Straight man. He didn't.
Right.
Yeah,
he was a good character. I liked him.
This guy right here. I can't watch that kid without thinking they wrote that part for Michael Cera.
I was thinking the exact same thing the whole movie. It's like this guy is trying to channel Michael Cera, the kid from
Juno.
From Juno, from Arrested Development.
And from Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
Yes, and that's scary that you pulled that one out.
Sorry.
Superbad?
It's scary that you pulled that one out before Superbad.
Anyway.
The two girls were... I know you guys are going to tell me they're not unknowns.
No.
At least the older one is not, but I couldn't pick anything.
Emma Stone.
I don't know who they were.
Who is Emma Stone? What has she done before?
I don't know.
She's a cute girl.
Oh, she was. She was very pretty. I don't know if she...
I'm just saying.
Edited.
Yeah.
Was she the red... Was there a redhead?
No, she wasn't a redhead. No. She was a brunette. Mm-hmm. She was the older of the two. The younger was Little Rock, and she was
Abigail Breslin.
That's who she was. She was the chick.
Abigail Breslin.
Breslin.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
She's Abigail Breslin's. She's a known quantity, and she was solid as Little Rock.
I was
the younger one.
Oh, was the younger one. Mm-hmm. What else was you said? What else was she in?
She was in not Abigail. Abigail Breslin wasn't. She's been in a number of movies.
I'm coming up blank.
The one that really surprised me was actually putting Bill Murray in as a cameo.
We were going to wait until that was in the spoilers.
Really? I already spoiled him in the podcast.
Because I hadn't seen it. I hadn't seen that anywhere that he was in it.
Oh, I did, because somebody posted on somebody's Facebook status.
Of course they did.
Why would you do something like that when it's literally nowhere on the internet right now, unless it's headed up by... Spoiler warning.
Right.
Really, I heard it.
So I already knew.
I heard it, but I hate Bill Murray, so I was like, I hope his
appearance
mercifully short.
Because I've never had a kid, but I will definitely have a child.
First off,
Little Miss Sunshine was...
Goddamn old.
Little Miss Sunshine was Abigail Breslin's big... it was an Oscar movie 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I had a one-year-old. There weren't a whole lot of Oscar contenders going on in my house at that point.
You should come to the Oscar marathon next year.
It's awesome. It's incredible.
5 movies in a row.
One day.
Ass of steel.
Okay, and if the Reader is one of them,
it's like four.
Then I'll just nip off and throw myself.
The Reader was last year.
There's plenty of nipples in the Reader.
No, nip off.
I know.
There was a rather large Johnson in the Reader, though.
I don't know. It was so crushingly.
The Reader was a good movie.
Right, let's not rehash.
You don't count.
So, Zombieland.
All right. Anyway,
how does he hate Bill Murray?
Easily.
He has no taste, no soul. You guys are right.
Easily.
Just a hater.
Easily. All right. So the plot of Zombieland. Let's rock this out.
Well, the world has turned into zombies. Due to a contaminated hamburger at a gas station, the world has become, or at least the United States has turned into zombie apocalypse.
and they said it's a playoff of mad cow disease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And causes your brain to swell and you to become extremely crabby.
Yes.
And
killer case of the munchies.
Yeah, killer case of the munchies.
They didn't or really say dead. Yeah, they're not actually dead. They didn't say how long this has been going on.
Right.
It didn't seem like very long because there was still power, there were still cars, you could still get gas. It didn't look like...
It has to be less than a month.
Yeah.
Yes, but the Twinkie supply had been diminished.
Which apparently was weird. Yeah. That was weird.
That's not weird. That's the first thing you grab. They last forever.
Apparently they don't. Grab. Was that the first thing the zombies grabbed?
Well, it's probably the first thing the living took.
Yeah, you can't...
Same. There was a fully stocked...
Hostess truck.
Well, not just the hostess truck. There was a fully stocked supermarket.
Yeah, but there were no Twinkies in it.
But they never looked.
No, they never looked.
They never looked for the Twinkies. They never did look for the Twinkies.
He was only looking for zombies in there. Well,
no, he was killing the zombies, and they got distracted by the girl.
That's right.
Yeah.
They got distracted.
They got distracted, but they never looked for the Twinkies. Just saying. Plot point. Plot hole.
We'll get to those later. We'll get to those later. Don't worry.
Wow, and they're just zinging on you about Ghostbusters.
They do, always do. This is normal.
See, if you watch Ghostbusters, if this continue, you would like Bill Murray if you watched Ghostbusters.
I doubt it. If this continues,
you would know who's going to
chat with my butt, and they don't want that, so they'll get off.
You would know who you're going to call.
That's right. This is so exciting. You're about to know who to call.
And it's not Gandhi.
It is not Gandhi.
That's a different movie.
All right, so the movie starts out with Michael Cera. Explaining the rules.
With Columbus explaining the rules. He's a obsessive compulsive. He's got ADD.
He's a
shut in. And
they hinted at
a high level geek.
Yeah.
They hinted at Asperger's too.
Yeah.
Do pro tips go in plot holes?
Only if you're lucky.
Just the tip.
So Columbus is busily playing World of Warcraft and bemoaning his empty life.
It was actually WoW too.
He was actually playing WoW.
He was on World of Warcraft. He's got a stack of Leaning Tower of Pizzas, as he called it.
They had
Red Bull.
This movie had no problem naming names and named out hostess. They had a hostess truck with snowballs. That was awesome.
He had a robot chicken poster on his wall. Mm-hmm. I mean, they definitely had some
serious product placement.
But you know what? It was right. It was absolutely right. It wasn't going into a bar and give me a beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't anything like that.
Beer going on in that.
Yeah,
oh, Mountain Dew Red.
It was well done. Yeah, Code Red. Code Red Mountain Dew. Yep.
So,
I think it almost felt like the plague had not only started but was pretty far along by the time he even realized, because he said he hadn't left his apartment in 3 weeks.
Right. Right.
He'd been inside for 3 weeks.
Well, and goodness knows how long it had actually been going on. It could have just started the day before, but you know, if you're one of those, I mean, I've been that guy. Where all you're doing is playing video games for a weekend.
A little bit of it, like when his neighbor comes over and she's just been bitten.
Right.
Yeah, the girl of his dreams.
He's had the TV on, so it's and then they're talking about it, but not to the holy crap, people are rising from the dark. People are becoming zombies.
Yeah, but he was playing WoW at the time.
Yeah, he was playing WoW.
He didn't turn the TV on until she got there. When he turned into he turned on his normal person mode.
Well, I'm saying that even though, I mean, he probably didn't leave. He probably didn't leave after he found out that this was going on, especially after he brained his neighbor.
Well, bashed her brain.
Double tap.
It was a beautiful double tap too.
Yeah, it's like every geek's dream. The girl of the dreams comes into your apartment, you know, and you play the helpless girl, and all of a sudden she turns into a zombie and, like, tries to kill you.
I always play the helpless girl when I'm trying to get some chick.
Hold me.
Yes.
Hold I just me. Want a cuddle.
Yes. And then eat your
Will
face.
You stay with me through the night?
Yes, he's having every geek's, you know, particular wet dream, and all that turns
watching
into his
him
nightmare.
Try and fight, watching him try and fight her off, yes. Apologizing for breaking her leg by yes. slamming it in the door Lord. Repeatedly. Holy cow.
It was frustrating. It was like, oh.
And that's where the part of the good comedy is. It just keeps rolling along, sort of unexpectedly.
Audience pro tip, Stingray, Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, July. I was being Adam wanting to cuddle. I don't want to cuddle. That's a girl thing. Comment in the chat room.
So, Columbus is on his way.
Jonathan, have you seen it yet?
Columbus is on his way to Columbus to reconnect with the family that he assumes are still alive.
His mother and father.
He assumes are still alive.
Yeah. He hopes they're still alive.
Because they're just like him, the type that stay indoors and never have any contact with people anyway, and are hideously paranoid.
So, and along the way, he runs into Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before that...
Well, before that, he has a few encounters with some of the local zombies, and it's where he's kind of laying down some of the rules.
Which is actually the first exposure to Columbus is...
At the gas station.
Is at the gas station. And we see the rest of it in a flashback.
Mm-hmm.
And he's laying out his rules.
Beware of
cardio.
Cardio was number one because yeah. all those poor
the fatties. The fatties were the first to go. That's why I'm recording. Tony's losing it immediately following this.
Yes, there's a reason to lose weight. Remember, the zombie apocalypse. You have to run fast to get away from the zombies.
Gotta have a smart
or at least faster than the guy next to you. That's all the faster
you travel in pairs. You just got to run faster than the guy.
Break his kneecap, run faster than him. It really doesn't matter. It's easy.
Yeah, but then you have to keep replacing him.
That's all right.
That's true. So,
He meets up with Tallahassee.
There's a very awkward gun, like the whole standoff.
Mexican standoff that goes poorly.
Why does it have to be Mexican?
Because you're sitting there and I was, you know, hoping to irritate you.
Acceptable. All right. I'll do my Egg Shen voice then.
We're making up for it.
Yeah, pass the buck. So after, I don't know why he goes with him. I mean, I guess just because there's nobody else.
Well,
he doesn't have a car.
Yeah, he's got the Escalade. Tallahassee's got the Escalade and Columbus is walking.
He had a motorcycle.
No, he didn't.
He was using it as cover.
Yeah, he was using the gas tank of a motorcycle as cover against someone with a shotgun. Once again, proving that even though he had rules, maybe he wasn't thinking things all the way through.
That's why he was writing them down. Yeah, writing them down and filling them out so we won't forget them.
Tallahassee invites him to go along.
Tallahassee quickly figures out that he's not going to get along with this guy. Tallahassee is kind of a loner, and he kind of says, yeah.
He tells him right off the bat, I'm good at what I do, and quite frankly, you seem like a bit of a pussy, so.
Well, you're
awesome. Was awesome.
You're a perky little spit fucky.
Woody Nelson was awesome. Every time he was doing stuff was great.
So one of the things that Tallahassee teaches Columbus, which takes you to the next point, is one of the things Tallahassee was teaching Columbus is you have to enjoy the little things. If you don't blow off steam, you're going to lose your mind in zombie land. Because you've seen all the horror you can handle. Now you just have to do something stupid. And in this case, it was stopping at a grocery store.
Well, no, before that, it was the hostess truck.
Oh, that's right. The hostess truck was before.
A nice little interaction to get the characters kind of used to each other and kind of play off was his rule about limbering up.
And
I love Tallahassee's remark. You ever see a lion limber up before it's about to take down a gazelle?
it makes
Columbus think, okay, maybe not all of my rules apply in every situation. It actually does a really effective point of starting to put a crack in his rule system, which does come up a couple of times later.
Yeah. Yeah,
but if you're an over-analytical nerd, of course you're going to have these elaborate rule systems.
Yeah.
To make sure that you're doing everything right.
Well, and you know, it's also the the idea that my rule system works because I'm still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Until I die, my rule system is effective.
Yeah, my rule view 100%. Still works.
I plan on living forever. So far, so good.
Yeah. Because I follow the rules.
So after they cruise into the grocery store.
That's when they go to the grocery store. And Woody Harrelson goes, or I'm sorry, Tallahassee goes zombie baiting.
Yes.
He goes zombie baiting because what else do you do?
Bring his banjo in. It's reenacting Deliverance
playing dueling banjos to call out these zombies, which is really funny because my daughter is 14 and really wants to see this movie. Really bad. Huge horror aficionado already. And when I watched the Red Band trailer, they put a bunch of stuff into the Red Band trailer that she hadn't seen.
Right.
And when Woody Harrelson steps back and goes to do the golf swing with the banjo and says, "You got a purty mouth," I fell off the couch laughing and realized that joke is going to be lost on a whole generation.
Sure. Absolutely.
However, you know the joke.
Yeah.
It's a joke that permeates the culture.
Yeah. Well, anyone over 45 will probably get the joke immediately.
If I hit him and he falls out of his chair, can they edit that out?
Yes. No,
that would be an edit point.
Well, it might be an edit point, but it also might be a special program.
You Adam saying what's Deliverance? No, I know what Deliverance is, but I've never seen it.
We should talk about it.
See, everybody votes, we wouldn't edit out it anyway, so that'll come later. That'll be surprising. I like it.
Except then he knows it's coming. Now he's tensed up.
No, that's good.
He's chubbed up, actually, waiting for it to happen.
Then that huge guy shows up.
Oh, God.
The car.
They grew him big out here.
Just going to take a little bit off the top.
Oh, man. That was another thing that I really liked was some of the really, really awful, obvious jokes that they took.
Yes.
They just went ahead and took them. It doesn't matter. Just go ahead and...
Why not?
Might as well. You might as well.
They're going to destroy the artistic feel of the movie.
They did not. You're right. They did not.
No, this movie was a comedy, straightforward, and, I mean, they went for it. You might as well.
The thing is that they get... Not only are the jokes horrible and cruel, but they're also rather gory, too. But that makes it even more funny at this point because we've already been desensitized.
And interestingly enough, they didn't show that.
No, they didn't. They didn't show.
And I was waiting for them to.
Some
I figured
really awful stuff they did not show. They showed the aftermath.
Right. They did pull back from a few things, which I didn't have a problem with. There was a few points where it was like, okay.
I'm tired of seeing zombies.
Vomit blood. Vomiting of the blood. And it's like, come on.
The black. It wasn't even blood. It was
ichor.
Yeah.
That's a great word.
It is a great word.
So, at the grocery store, they run into the two chicks whose names I can't remember.
Little Rock and...
Wichita.
Wichita, that's right. I could not remember Wichita.
Is Wichita the hot one?
Yes.
Yeah, Wichita's the hot one. And she hurried, come with me. And what's awesome is when Columbus falls immediately in lust and yet still stops to make sure he knows where the exit is and prop the exit open... Because he's following his rules. He's
always
not going to get
your
screwed.
Way out. Yeah.
He's not going to get screwed because he doesn't follow.
Well,
his
he's
rules.
Already been screwed once by a beautiful woman coming on to him.
So he knows better.
I'm not going to get trapped in this time.
Yep.
One of the things to actually taking a step back to his rules. The first time we see him when he's in the parking lot at the car and he runs a lap.
Yes.
I thought that was brilliant because it's like, this is like a video game.
You get the lead on him. Yeah. You can stop and unlock
the car. So you can stop and get the, you take the big lap around because they're just stupid zombies. They're going to follow you.
Yep.
It's just like playing a game like WoW.
Yeah.
He was using a WoW tactic to drag them away from his point, come back, do what you need to, then take off.
I love the second.
That doesn't actually work.
I love the second time he came around.
It does in some cases.
And cardio was on the ground right next to the car.
Yes.
Blinking as he makes the second lap.
Yeah. Every time they had those was priceless. So, you get the big meet and greet with the two chicks where they dupe What's-His-Face and What's-His-Face.
Tallahassee and Columbus.
I'm
not going to remember this. Woody Harrelson and not Michael Cera. And then steal all their stuff.
And put
the big con on them, and away they go with all their guns and their car. His Cadillac, as he put it.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
And then they're leaving there. They're sitting there with their wieners in their hands. And
I don't remember that part.
Oh, man, I love the fact that Tallahassee was just pissed that somebody stole his Cadillac.
Yep.
Somebody had stolen his Cadillac, and by
you
God.
You don't fuck with a man's caddy.
Not fuck with a man's caddy. That was beautiful. And they're walking through town to try and figure out how to replace the car. And he says, well, there's a perfectly good minivan right there. And that's when Tallahassee loses his shit and jumps up and begins busting the windows out of the minivan and just beating the crap out of the minivan while Columbus just stands there going, oh, okay, I'm going to go ahead and you, okay, I'm going to come over here while you do that.
You get it out of your system.
Enjoy the little things was on the...
Yeah.
Not only was enjoy the little things is when he jumped down and they started walking away and he goes, ooh, I think I pulled something.
Limber up.
It was limber up. Shows up at somewhere in the background.
It was on the back of the minivan and it fell off. It fell off like with the bumper or something.
Yep.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I tell you what, the only other time that I've seen something that I liked like that was in Daywatch.
I never saw that.
It was a Russian movie.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was told very specifically when I got it, watch it in Russian with the English subtitles because the English subtitles are such an integral part of watching the movie. And I didn't realize. I was like, okay, I'll watch it in the original Russian, and they were right.
Mm-hmm.
I have never gone back and watched it in English because there's no need to because the subtitles made it so much better. I felt the same way about what they were doing with the rules in Zombieland. It made it better. They could have really screwed that up, and they didn't.
So then they get a Hummer.
But yeah,
with guns.
Always check the back seat.
Always check the back seat.
God bless the rednecks.
Just shooting the gun into the air. And not Michael Cera's just chewing on that thing's sweater.
Oh, I'm sorry, it was Nightwatch?
Mm-hmm. Daywatch.
No, it was Nightwatch, Daywatch. No, Daywatch has been
Nightwatch
made.
Nightwatch and Daywatch have both been made.
The Twilight is not out yet, though.
Yes, that is correct. I like both those movies.
Twilight is out, though.
We're not going to talk about that movie, though.
That's not a Russian movie.
No, it's not.
Not the worst movie I've seen. Books?
Sound of Thunder. Sound of Thunder is a bad movie. Just saying.
Lost in Translation is a worse movie.
You're not old enough for Lost in Translation.
Wow, that just got whipped right out.
That's terrible.
I've said it before.
That's...
I whipped it out and slammed it on the table.
She did.
Well, because you need some length on that bad boy.
Oh. Anyway, right. So they get their Hummer.
And they're back on the road again.
And of course, he has to paint Dale Earnhardt's number on the
fantastic. On the side. That is awesome. That's just great.
He has to paint the number 3 on the side of it, and they've got to go. He wants revenge. Tallahassee wants revenge. He wants to go find the girls. And, you know, it looks like they're maybe 20 miles out of town when they find the broke-down Escalade. And, you know, they sneak up on the Escalade, and he has Columbus wait in the Hummer. He walks down, looks about 50, 60 yards down, and doesn't see anybody.
And he didn't see the hay bales that I saw. Then I'm going, they're behind the hay bales.
Well, that's because I just think Tallahassee is one of those, what you see is what, he's a WYSIWYG kind of guy.
Yep.
He is what he is.
Very focused.
He is very focused. So he turns around to go back to the Hummer. He gets into the Hummer, which leads into one of the most amazing crosstalk I saw in the movie, which was, so come on, we'll just go ahead and get out of here. They're in the back seat, aren't
she's
they?
In the back seat.
In
the back seat.
What I don't understand at this point is there's no reason for them to stop. That Escalade could not have broken down 20 miles out of town. There's just no way it would happen. That Escalade was brand friggin' new.
Yeah. Did they stop for gas?
No, it was smoking.
It was smoking from the radiator.
Why was it smoking?
I don't know.
There was no reason for that car to break down. That was the stupidest point. That was the second stupidest point in the movie.
Second? What was the first?
We'll get there.
Oh, we'll get there. Okay.
Bill Murray was in it.
Bill Murray was the stupidest part of the movie.
We'll argue about that in a minute. They end up having an agreement of, once again, another Mexican standoff.
It's a GM vehicle is why it broke down.
Well, there's that, too.
A little bummer.
So there's another Mexican standoff in which there's the agreement that they're all going to be in the Hummer, they're all going to travel together, and after some gunplay and trying to play the quiet game, what am I missing?
Hummers.
Every time
I say Hummer.
I was thinking of that before.
If you guys.
This is the first time you said it.
Every time I hear the word,
I'll tell you a story about Francis that can be edited out. Actually, I think I already told you that story about Francis not getting a Hummer for his birthday.
No, but I want
to
hear it.
Yeah, I'll have to tell you guys that story when we're done. That is an awesome story that he begged me not to tell anyone, and of course, I ran.
So
I don't think we should edit it out.
For the Easter egg special.
The Easter egg special. The Francis is in Iraq. I can tell all kinds of stories about him. Special. So,
this is the support the troops special.
No, they're
on their way. So they're on their way now to Pacific Playland in L.A.
In L.A. because
it's supposed to be zombie free.
And they're supposed to be playing the quiet game, which Columbus fails at because he's never had to play the quiet game.
Well, and also he asks if they know anything about Columbus. And she says, Columbus is burned to the ground.
Well, actually, that comes after when he says, when Woody Harrelson says, Pacific Playland is a, it blew my mind. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
After the really awful look from his sister, just give the 12-year-old something.
Right.
The kid is 12 years old. She's going to grow up in a zombie-infested world. Just give her something. Well, when he makes some comment about going to Columbus, she is really...
It's just like
it.
Bill Adama wanting to give the people of,
like
of the fleet Earth. Because we have to give them hope.
Woody Harrelson and Edward James Olmos, I'm telling you.
They are one.
They are one. You've never seen them in the same room?
Tallahassee is Bill Adama.
He is. I have to agree.
It's a bit of a stretch.
I went there.
By the way, the Scream Awards, they honored Battlestar Galactica, so they had most of the cast up there.
That's great.
Edward James Olmos, they're like, and I mean, a lot of the buzz we got was because we had award-winning actor, Edward James Olmos, and he's like, yeah, this show was really popular because of the fans. So say we all really into it. Like, most of the cast kind of, like, shirks away. Like, he's screaming at them.
That's
and then he's like, he's out. He's gone. Nothing else.
Got my shit out.
Yeah. See ya.
So I think the next scene where there was the... when they've all decided to go in the same direction and Columbus realizes that there's really nothing for him on in Columbus, that they're just all going to go to Pacific Playland together, what I thought was the best series of scenes in the entire movie was when the four of them kept trading seats
and montage.
The conversations, the montage of all the conversations going on, especially when the 12-year-old is driving.
She's only popular when
she has the hair on it, then she's Hannah Montana. Because that was a direct argument, a direct offshoot of the argument of she'd never heard of Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
The 12-year-old had no idea who Willie Nelson was. And it took me a second watching that scene to realize it was right at the end of the scene as she's waving her arms and yelling, Hannah Montana. And the look on Tallahassee's face, like, what in God's name are you talking about? That I realized that the music on the radio is Miley Cyrus.
Uh-huh.
That's actually Miley Cyrus on the radio. That was awesome. That and when they let her drive. And
they're telling her, no, you only go 20 miles an hour.
He goes 20 miles an hour. And then 3 seconds later, all of the three of them screaming at each other, watching the 12-year-old drive. I'm like, and this is why you don't let the adults, they have to sleep when the 12-year-old's driving.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them be awake. Which then led into the scene at the...
trading post.
We separate you from your wampum.
Mm-hmm. Now that scene to me was like almost a total waste. There wasn't anything really funny about it. It really didn't really push the story. It was just an excuse for them to tear the place up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it, I mean, it was also, yeah, it was enjoying the little things.
It was a family bonding scene.
Yeah, it really was.
And he went for Zombie Kill of the Week again, which he didn't get.
Yes.
He did not get Zombie Kill of the Week, although it was a very nice zombie. It gave us three rules. It gave us don't be a hero, it gave us double tap, and it gave us enjoy the little things.
It also
double tap was before that.
But it gave it to us again.
Yeah,
we got three rules out of that
right.
scene.
And we also got to see what the top zombie kill of the week
was a total
Warner Brothers Looney Tunes type.
The whole
zombie kill.
Every scene with the zombies was, though. I mean, it was all Looney Tunes.
Yeah,
Looney Tunes.
Silence. All right. So they tear
everybody
up.
Everybody takes a drink.
They tear up the trading post and then they leave. I mean,
yeah.
Bonding scene.
It was a break. It was a break in the action before we
hit Hollywood.
Yeah. Before they show them pulling into California, getting to L.A.
Then there's a bunch of chillaxing.
Actually,
they look for some place to stay.
Another one of my favorite things is when they're deciding where to stay. When they get to, and by the way,
they pull over at Grauman's Chinese Theater to get to the
map of the stars. That was awesome. And they should have used what's his name's We Love L.A.
Randy Newman.
Randy Newman's We Love L.A. would have been perfect.
I Love L.A.
I Love L.A. for that scene. Sadly, apparently, they didn't get the rights.
Apparently not.
I mean, so.
Of course you don't.
Of course you don't.
26. 8-3. It's my year of birth.
That song was out by then.
Yeah, it was.
Actually, it was out after that.
Nevertheless, they go cruising around Hollywood looking for a place to stay, and of course it's Tallahassee.
Tallahassee has already chosen where they're going to stay. Okay. There's no looking for it. No. He's just got to find the place.
Yep. And he does.
BM. That's a big BM.
That was awesome when they pulled up to the gates and there was a huge BM.
And it doesn't stand for Bob Marley.
And whose mansion would it happen to be?
Well, that's the thing is he doesn't tell them right away. You have to they walk in and they go through and it's really nice. And my question is, has anybody looked it up? Is that actually Bill Murray's house?
I have no clue.
I can probably count
don't
it.
Worry.
Yes, we know.
Yes, when you started looking at the paintings on the wall.
Yeah,
it was.
It really became apparent when you were looking at that stuff on the wall. It was pretty awesome.
So, Bill Murray is apparently living in his house and then just dresses like a zombie to go out.
Yes, he blends in.
That's who I am. I have to get out and show the people.
Walked out of the Riviera, played nine holes. It was great.
No crowds.
But what they do is they get to the place. There's nobody there as far as they can tell. So they decide they're going to split up two and two. Never split the party. And they're going to never split the party. And they're going to search the rest of the house.
It's a rule he didn't have because he only was by himself. And he was only by himself.
He was only by himself, so he never had the never split the party rule. Mm-hmm. So Columbus takes Little Rock and goes upstairs to look. And while they're upstairs looking, finds
the home theater.
And there's a discussion downstairs when he says this is Bill Murray's place. And Little Rock says, "Who's Bill Murray?" And that's when Tallahassee looks at Kid, which Todd goes, "You know, I've never hit a kid, but I might make an exception. It's like saying who's Gandhi." And of course, the 12-year-old looks at him and goes, "Who's Gandhi?" So they go upstairs, and Columbus realizes this is his chance to educate her. He throws Ghostbusters in. And probably one of my favorite lines.
So exciting. Who are you going to get to call?
You're about to figure out. You're about to learn who you're going to call.
They just like take a break from searching the mansion. Oh, let's watch this movie.
Let's watch the movie.
So
as soon as they sit down, it's obvious what the inevitable conclusion of what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as they sit down, you know it's going to be bad. It's just not going to go well. Well, while Tallahassee and Wichita are downstairs, Bill Murray walks out dressed as a zombie, almost gets himself plugged. They have the conversation that one of his makeup artist friends showed him how to do it. He's been going out, and the zombies have been ignoring him.
Because he looks like a zombie.
Which leads me to believe...
They ignore their own.
So...
So zombies aren't cannibals.
They're not cannibals.
That's weird.
Yeah. And he says, "We're going to treat you to some West Coast hospitality," which then leads to the hookah scene.
Yes.
Burning some buds there.
Burning a huge amount of buds.
That was so weird.
That was actually, I just loved, I bet you get this all the time. Okay, maybe not anymore, but I'm your biggest fan.
You're fucking Murray. Okay, I know that's not your real middle name.
But I'm going to say it anyway.
He goes off, does the total fanboy explosion.
Which makes me wonder if Woody Harrelson is an actually. But back up, does that...
What? Zombies ignoring zombies is becoming a trope?
No.
I don't know how
go back up. I think Chris said that it was actually Bill Murray.
No, it's not Bill Murray's. The whole movie was shot in Atlanta, so it's not Bill Murray's place. He actually said who the name of the person is.
Something in a jar.
But Ustream is being a dick.
Lee Najjar's
house. It's located in Buckethead, a district of Atlanta, Georgia.
It just be Buckhead, but...
Oh, Buckhead.
I like Buckethead.
Buckethead sounds better, though.
Oh, man, they're using big words in the chat room. What's that all about?
I don't know. Moving on.
Zombies ignoring zombies is becoming a trope. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Relax and everything. Bill Murray,
they find out that there's...
Autophage is genius.
Oh, God, then it leads into the Bill Murray and Tallahassee and Wichita recreating a scene from Ghostbusters. Had me crying. I was laughing
the
so hard.
The hilarious thing about it is that Tallahassee's wearing the actual...
He's wearing an actual suit.
And Bill Murray's got like a vacuum.
He's got
cleaner.
A shoulder back over his shoulder. Screaming, "Don't cross the streams." So that's when they get this great idea that they've got this naive kid.
They're
going to
prank.
They're going to pull a prank.
No, which one's the jumpy one?
So they send Bill Murray upstairs.
And you can see where it's going the whole time.
The shotgun is right between them. Good Lord.
Yeah, Bill Murray does his stagger in with moaning and like, they're right in the middle of Ghostbusters and the kid freaks and plucks him.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even like he was watching a horror movie. Yeah. He's watching freaking Ghostbusters.
And eating popcorn.
Yeah.
All right. Having the time of his life.
Yeah.
So they dispose of Bill Murray.
Best part of the movie.
Oh, it's when they're jumping Bill Murray's body off the roof?
Yes, into the dumpster. Rolling up in a carpet, like, whoops.
Get rid of him. And then we come to the part that I think everybody was supposed to cry over.
The big reveal about Tallahassee's kid.
About Tallahassee's puppy.
Buck. Yeah.
His puppy, Buck.
Well, he never called him his puppy. He called him his pup.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yeah.
Well, that's it. Yeah. All through the movie, they had been dropping this hint that he had lost something. And we were led to believe that it's his dog.
Right. The conversation they have while they're watching the movie. She kind of goes for the bad boys. Whatever.
Yes. I love the look on Little Rock's face when he knocks the popcorn.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, anyway. When he's trying to sit there and puzzle out Wichita's psyche there, you know, like what kind of guy she dig, you know, like probing her for information there.
That's not the kind of probing he wants to do.
Well, no, I know.
Not with the 12-year-old. Yeah. Not with the 12-year-old.
Oh. I meant the Wichita.
Yeah. He's trying to pump her for information.
Just keeps going south.
I know.
Just keeps going south.
That long, inquisitive finger.
Yes.
So they go downstairs and they decide to play Monopoly, I guess, to pass the time. And
it turns into a bonding session.
Turns into a bonding session, which, like I said, I think that was where I was supposed to cry. Mm. That is not where I got upset. I got upset later in the movie. That was not where I got upset. When the big reveal was done that Tallahassee was not, he didn't lose a dog, he lost his son.
Yeah.
His son had been
killed by zombies.
And you get the notion that Tallahassee was a completely different person in pre-zombie land.
To quote Columbus, that he felt safe with Tallahassee because Tallahassee had been in the ass-kicking business, and business was good. Except you realize at that point,
He wasn't the ass kicker. He was an ass kicker. And at that point,
he realized exactly why he was the ass kicker. It was when a man loses his son, he really has nothing left to lose.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why Tallahassee did everything he did. He didn't care anymore.
It was over.
If he died, he died. So what?
It didn't matter. It was already over.
It was all about going for style at that point.
There was style.
Style's good.
Style is good.
The snakeskin jacket? That was style. So then we've got getting liquored up.
Getting liquored up, and then almost Michael Cera almost slips it in, but
God, he doesn't even come close. He doesn't even get a lip lock. Nice. He gets an apology from 8th grade girls everywhere for not going to Sadie Hawkins dance with him.
Then he puts his arms on her shoulders
to do Sadie dance.
That was so great.
Awesome.
She kind of shrugs him off, which is so he moves his arms down.
She does the sway dance with him. He comes within a gnat's hair of getting a kiss.
Getting the first base.
And that is when Tallahassee decides they need to make a fort.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he and
Little Rock
had been having their own little bonding session, and he is showing her how to shoot.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because
she can't hit the trigger.
She's blinking away.
Yeah. She has no clue what she's doing. So he's giving her some pointers on how to shoot.
Yeah. Another family bonding.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually
kind of, I mean, and they...
He's starting to break down that rock-hard facade. He's starting to turn back into a family man.
Right. Well, and the movie's not subtle at all.
No. Yeah, it's not even close.
Okay, he has got a child that he can parent now.
Yes.
He is a family man. His role in pre-Zombieland was as a father. This is a child who doesn't have a parent. This is a child who still needs a parent. So he's kind of bridging that gap. He's taking the first step.
You're like a giant cock-blocking robot.
That was later.
That was when they got ditched again
yeah.
by women.
Yeah,
that was
yes, again, Wichita and Little Rock decide to get a hair up their butt to go
and
see Pacific Playland.
Yeah,
and
they take the Hummer
and they leave.
Right.
And they leave Woody Harrelson and they leave Tallahassee and Columbus behind. Columbus decides he's going to Pacific Playland and gets on a Harley and goes poorly.
Come on, evil Knievel.
Get in the truck. And what did they? Did they get a GMC?
They had another SUV of some kind.
That
it was Bill Murray's SUV, apparently.
Okay, guys, what was he holding? What was Tallahassee holding in the red and silver box that he was carrying?
I don't know, but he was carrying something.
He was carrying something like it was a prize. He had a bunch of stuff that looked like
he took a bunch of shit from Bill Murray's house.
Bill Murray's house, like he'd gone through
it. It was like a gumball machine or something like that.
A gumball machine or a snow cone machine or something that he'd. And he was holding on. He was wearing a snakeskin jacket and holding the gumball machine because, by God, he wasn't letting go of it.
Gotta have something to show for this adventure.
So they show up. This is the actual stupidest part of the movie. So the two chicks get ambushed by the zombies once they turn the Pacific Playland
on. Well, yeah, they light the place up.
Yeah, let's turn all the lights on. Yeah.
And the sounds middle of the night. And everything. Yeah. And apparently nothing was actually shut down before they turned the power off. Apparently they just turned all the power off with everything up and running.
Yeah,
like you said, not a subtle movie.
Right.
There was a lot of
you turn
that
you turn the power switch on and everything is moving.
The carousel starts up immediately.
Yeah,
immediately. So then there's the choice of.
By this point in the movie, though,
you don't care anymore.
You don't care, and you expect it. If they don't start going immediately, you'd be disappointed.
Well, you expect it, and that's not you don't care about that anymore because all right, who's going to see the end of the movie?
Right.
Because it's a zombie movie. Someone's going to die.
Someone is going to die before the end of the movie.
Yeah.
So then the zombies show up and the girls run and then get on that ridiculous
ride,
drop chute
for some
unknown reason.
Well, it was the only safe place.
It goes up really far, but then they didn't take into account that it goes
down
back down just as fast, which really made no sense to me.
And they never got off.
Well, they couldn't.
Yeah, they're locked in.
They were locked in.
They were locked in.
The harness is lock in.
And Little Rock shot the control box, so they were stuck up at the top.
That just looked like seatbelt buckles to me.
No, they actually had the over-the-head harnesses.
They're in the harnesses, but the zombies are also still surrounding them. Yeah. So even though they're in it, the zombies are still surrounding them.
Seems to me the priority one would be to get out of the harness.
Except that there was no reason
to
get out of the harness.
Once the things are locked down.
Zombies crawling up the
tower. Okay, that came later, though. And by then, they were a little more worried about, you know, not getting their ankles eaten.
They did not know what their exit was.
They did not have an exit
They didn't
strategy.
Have an exit strategy.
They did not
strategy.
Have an exit strategy. This is correct. So, just in the nick of time, as our heroines are about to be eaten in some gruesome one way or another, that's when Tallahassee and Columbus show up to save the day. And, of course, I'm not coming. Tallahassee and Columbus show up, and that's when Tallahassee loses his goddamn mind. Which was, that's when I was really worried they were going to go somewhere with the movie that was really going to piss me off.
Tallahassee, I don't know that he so much lost his mind, but he was giving them, he was sacrificing himself for the family.
Yeah. And that's what
he was going to go out in the blaze of glory.
He would, but that's what really irritated me is up until then, Tallahassee had not acted in any way, shape, or form anything other than making sure Tallahassee stayed alive. Or at least the Tallahassee had fun.
Yeah, I know, but that was the point, though, that he'd changed.
But he had changed.
He'd get a new family to protect.
Yeah.
Then wouldn't you want to stay alive and try and protect them instead of
if they die, somebody had to lure them away.
Somebody had to let
Michael Sierra get in there to run with the air horn acting like an idiot and go from there.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. So,
well, as you said, he had a
long extended fight scene inside of an amusement park later.
That was pretty much Tallahassee's only rule.
Yeah.
Was nut up or shut up.
Nut up or shut up.
And enjoy the little things. Enjoy the little things. That was the only rules that he had. And they worked out quite well for him.
Nut up or shut up.
So we go and through a series of well-placed shots and everything else, we get to Tallahassee's last stand.
Literally.
Literally Tallahassee's last stand when he runs out of ammunition for the high-end weapons and locks himself in the dark booth, in the Win the Cupie Doll dark booth. And I was pissed that they were going to send him out like that. I was so mad when he lays out all the
clips,
all the clips, and all he has left
is a 245.
Is a 245s. I was like, I'm going to be so angry that you guys are going to kill off my favorite character.
This movie,
in a stupid way.
This movie would not have done that though. This because this movie was not written by Joss Whedon.
It was not. You are
this
correct.
Movie did not do that. And what that movie would or would not have do is irrelevant because it did. Not.
No, it did not.
No, it was good. I liked it.
And he again kicked ass.
Oh my god, that was because I couldn't figure out why he had the
clips lined up.
Dropped those clips,
turned around, slammed them down. Fantastic!
His best John Woo action.
Yes, that was a complete John Woo action scene. That was awesome. That was awesome.
All right, so now that we're done talking about the plot of the movie, there's a couple things I want to point out that some people won't necessarily understand. Okay, has anybody else seen Night of the Comet?
Yes.
Did this movie not feel like cousin?
It felt like a cousin to Night of the Comet, except that Night of the Comet had a humorous edge with some really ugly undertones.
Yeah.
Whereas this went for flat-out comedy with some ugly on one side and then the family, like you said, the family creeping in on the other side.
But there was stuff that almost directly translated
from Night of the Comet. Night of the Comet was one of the first in-the-theater zombie movies I had ever seen.
Yeah.
That was, because we're the same age,
yeah.
that was the movie that we cut our eye teeth on going to see.
Right.
Was that rated R?
No. It was PG or PG-13.
Was it?
Okay. It was not rated R.
Night of the Comet was more social commentary than anything else.
It was.
My favorite line of any movie comes from that movie, which is when he turns around in there in the department store. He turns around and kills somebody, and she looks at him and she goes, "Oh my God, you're crazy!" He turns around and looks at her and he goes, "I'm not crazy. I just don't give a fuck."
Yeah.
Which has been my favorite. That I've never found a line that has topped that one.
Yeah, the point, one of the crossover points though is the rules, because there were things with like the, you know, don't cross on the red.
Yes.
You don't cross on the red, which was a point in Night of the Comet.
Yes,
they had rules. They're still, this is still a society.
We are still going
by the rules, which it kind of translated to this one also.
Yeah,
this and it felt like when they were pulling up to Pacific Playland or whatever the place was called, when they pulled up, I was thinking, wow, this is the end of Vacation.
Yes.
It felt like that when they drove up through the empty parking lot. It felt just like Chevy Chase driving up in the...
And that was just on TV the other day, and I happened to see that stretch of it when he pulls the gun on...
John Candy?
On John Candy to get him
that,
into that.
That won't even break the skin. Oh!
We're not gun owners. We don't own a lot of guns, but yeah, I didn't even think about that until just now. You're right. There were a lot of parallels.
A lot of parallels to Night of the Comet, and I get about halfway through the movie, and it was really the sequence at the Wampum Hut reminded me of the sequence
in the mall
and in the radio station.
Yeah,
and those two points where it was like, man, there's a lot of similarities in these movies, and it's been a long time since I've seen Night of the Comet, but it really started pulling together there, and I started looking for similarities at that point.
Okay, so I was just happy there was nobody in the theater to get upset when I yelled things out loud.
No doubt the projectionist had a great time.
You know, I was happy there was nobody in our theater, so I pulled it out and started masturbating.
Melina was the only one that was horrified?
Yeah. She screamed.
I'm sure she did.
Not in my popcorn.
Honey, this one's eating my popcorn.
Just ignore him. But it was eating my popcorn.
Another thing is, this was originally written as a television series.
Mm-hmm. Which excites the hell out of me, because how many episodes do they have left?
They figured they have enough to make... Well, they wrote the whole first season. The whole first season has been plotted out, and they said basically this movie was the first two episodes. So they have enough to make like 11 or 12 more movies.
Which just excites me.
Yeah.
And Woody Harrelson is on board for sequels, which is kind of unusual because Woody Harrelson is usually never on board for a sequel.
Well, and yeah, I remember hearing him say while he was on set, he said, "I don't like playing around in the same world again. I would be honored to come back and work in
and play this game.
Yeah.
This game is awesome."
Yeah.
You know, while he was filming this, he punched a paparazzi in the face, and his justification was, I'm sorry, I thought he was a zombie.
I remember hearing about that.
That's fantastic. That should be everybody's excuse when they punch paparazzi in the face. Well, zombie! I thought it was a zombie. I don't know.
I was still in character.
I know. I'm probably going to punch a couple when we leave the studio here.
Yeah, because we have a lot hanging out in the,
front yard. Such a pain.
We can throw beer bottles.
Oh, yeah, we got plenty of them.
We got a few now.
We got plenty of bottles now.
I'm bored because we're talking about things that don't interest me.
Yeah, and that you don't know about.
You, that don't interest you. I'm so sorry.
Before your time.
That's my phone.
Aww.
Oh no. Your eye shield didn't protect your iPhone.
Was there an app for that? No, you got kicked anyway.
Sure there was. It was on the other side of my pants.
Person sitting next to me about to kick me. Is there an app for that? Hold on,
the app store loads slow when I'm out on wireless.
I'm about to get tossed in a trash can. Hold on, is there an app for that?
Let me take off my jacket.
I'm on 3G, kidding me.
Do you watch Glee?
Yeah. It shows freaking hysterical.
Glee is
one
of the greats.
Hold on. Let me take it off first. Now you can do it. Kurt's my hero.
Get me to a day spa.
Stat.
All right.
Come on, do it. I know how you are about your about the products on your face.
Anybody got anything else?
No.
I was just really happy with it. I watched, it was one of the ones that I saw the trailer. I really wanted to see it. I got to go see it. It made me just as happy as the trailer. Because there are so many things like Legion. Legion was one of the trailers that I saw.
I'm excited for Legion.
I'm extremely excited for Legion. Mm. Angels, Apocalypse, End of the World, Hordes of God, Guys in Armor with Wings. Yeah, I'm all about it.
All in a gas station.
All in a gas station in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
With the crazy old woman.
With the crazy old woman that goes up the lines.
How many months pregnant are you? Oh, 4 months.
No, she said, I'm just about there. She said, are you due soon? She said, I'm just about there. Too bad your baby's going to burn in fire. And then she, like, grows fangs and skitters up the wall like a spider. And wow, I was hooked. I'm like, I have to see this movie. I'm in nightmares for a week, and I don't care. And then while I was sitting in the theater, I texted Chris. I'm like, because I don't have internet, I'm like, do me a favor and look up who plays Gabriel on Legion. And it's the same guy who played Tree on Mystery Alaska, who played, oh, God, Chris will have to look it up again. He's been in a bunch. He was on Lost.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, Kevin Durant was on Lost. He was on a whole bunch of stuff. And, of course, I have the hots for him from Mystery Alaska.
He was on Lost. He was the leader of the, like, that incursion group that came to get Ben.
I don't know. I wasn't.
He's the head of the commandos in
Lost. He's the guy who kills Ben's daughter.
I didn't know Ben's daughter died.
Don't worry, she sucks.
Is that the one with the big nose and the long hair and is really whiny and I just want to punch?
That describes most of the chicks on
Lost. That's most of the chicks on Lost. Never mind.
He was Blob in Wolverine.
Yes, he was Blob in Wolverine.
Really?
I'm out of here.
Anyway.
Now the conversation's gay.
All right, so.
By the way, it was gay long before now. Thank you very much.
We started talking about Glee, so.
That wasn't a spoiler.
All right, so next week, Event Horizon. The week after that, Red Dawn. The week after that,
Fight Club. We'll drop a deuce.
Check
on this
us
table.
Out.
I'm totally coming back with Event Horizon because that is by far that was my doorway back into horror movies. That was because I'd watched horror movies as a teen, and then hadn't watched them at all and didn't like them, and you couldn't drug me with a tow chain, and I accidentally went to see her Event Horizon. It was a complete accident.
Oh.
You couldn't get me into the theater with a tow chain. Okay, so do you want to hear the Francis Gets a Hummer story?
Yes.
Let's close up and we'll make another Easter egg.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
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 Now for the special bonus.
When Francis was 15 years old, I offered him the chance at a job. I worked down at Fitz's, waiting tables and bartending and being a manager. And I said, I can get you a job on a work permit. Do you want to work? And he did. He wanted a job. He wanted money. And working down in the Loop was going to be really cool at the age of 15. He was all for it. So after everybody got off shift, the way that it would happen is everybody had gotten off shift, everybody was coming on shift, we were all upstairs in the balcony bar. if you've ever been to Fitz's,
yeah.
We were upstairs in the balcony bar, and usually people who were coming off shift were seated at the bar, counting down, having dinner, grabbing a couple beers. People that were coming on shift were at the tables along the railing,
mm-hmm.
Getting ready for lineup. And there was a lot of crosstalk. And we were all friends. It was one of the few places that I'd ever worked where pretty much everybody liked everybody else. We all got along. The people that didn't get along with the core group did not last long, because there were people that had worked there since the place opened.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there was a core group of people that I went to grade school with that I ended up working with there. So we're all sitting around one night, and Francis comes. I'm sitting there. I'd counted down my money. I was having dinner. Francis comes up and hops up on the bar, sits on the bar stool next to me, and throws his arms up on the bar and says, "Well, I decided I'm asking Mom for an El Camino for my birthday." And I turned and looked at him, and I was like, "It was going to be his 16th birthday. Yeah, ask for a car." He knew he wasn't getting one. We all knew we weren't getting a car. You know, ooh, we had the Escort. We all share it. That's plus, yeah. None of us lived at home anymore. We'd all moved out. And I said, "Why are you going to ask Mom for an El Camino?" And he said, "Because I'm pretty sure she won't give me a Hummer." Okay, there is this moment that you have to understand that some of these people remember when Francis was born. They went to grade school with me. Their parents were friends with my parents.
Oh, that is fantastic.
When Francis was born. There's this moment of complete silence, and my friend Marco is sitting on the other side of Francis, and Marco, into this silence, says, "Damn, and I've always been bitter because I wasn't breastfed." The whole place goes up. Okay, everybody at this point is now laughing. Everybody has tears in their eyes. They're laughing so hard. Francis is being a good sport about it. He shook it off. It wasn't a big deal. He went on. He worked. He was a bar back that night. So I came back on shift. I worked another 3-4 hours, and I was waiting for him to get off work because I was going to give him a ride home. And I'm sitting at the bar having a couple beers, waiting for him to get off work because I pulled a double. And he comes sliding up, and he sits down on the bar stool next to me, and he looks around to see who can hear us, make sure that there's nobody near us, and goes, "Okay, I know what happened earlier was really, really funny, but I'm going to go ahead and ask." Why was it funny?
Oh, wow.
And now I am now literally banging my head on the bar. I am laughing so hard I can't stop. I finally get my breath back. I turn and look at him, and I said, "A Hummer is a type of blowjob." Francis turns white. And he's like, "Oh my god." I was like, "Honey, it was funny. It was funny. It was funny." He's like, "No, it wasn't. I said that, Mom." I'm like, "No. It was really funny. Mark had a great..."
Stop thinking.
Stop thinking. "Mark had a comeback that made it even funnier. You took it well. You let it roll off your back. You didn't get insulted or anything like that. It's okay." And he said, "You have to promise me that you will never tell anybody that I did that." And I went, "Oh, no. I would never tell that story to anybody."
Oh, yeah, because that's
not just anybody, just the whole freaking world.
Yeah. What? That was like a Friday night. Saturday, I go in at shift change, and I'm like, "Hey, guys, come here. Wait till I tell you what happened last night." Oh, he took shit for that for probably the next 2 years, because he worked at Fitz's for another 2 or 3 years after that.
Oh, goodness.
From then on, from there on out, his nickname's BJ.
He had a lot of nicknames, including the one that my dad got really angry about. When he worked at Applebee's, you had to make your own name tags.
Uh-huh.
And he had a name tag, and he comes home, and his name tag said Psycho. And my dad, I came over that night for dinner. I came over to pick something up. I didn't live at home anymore. Dad started yelling at me. I mean, waving his arms in the air, yelling at me. "You've got your brother so twisted up, he thinks it's okay that people call him Psycho at work." I'm like, "Dad?" He said, "What? Don't you try and get out of this. Don't you try and make this okay." I said, "Dad, do you remember Stripes?" "Of course I remember Stripes. We took you guys to see the
private."
I said, "If any of you homos touch my stuff,
I'm going to kill you."
The guy's name was Psycho, but his name was Francis.
Yeah.
That's why his name tag says Psycho. And my dad stood there for, I swear to God, a full 30 seconds going, "It's..." And I'm like, "Nope, can't do it. Not mine. Ha-ha, I didn't do this one to him." So, yeah. That poor child had to take on a poor child. He's a grown-up man like Adam is now.
Whoa.
Let's not push it.